ask you, if you will, turn with me in your Bible to 1 John. That's Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and then 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. We've been talking about a joyful assurance, how the Lord doesn't simply want you to be saved, but he wants you to know that you're saved. He wants you to have that happy, confident, joyful assurance, knowing that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, knowing that you're pardoned and forgiven, not just being saved, but having that happy, joyful, confident assurance. This evening, I want to encourage you simply to love one another. Our text tonight is from 1 John chapter 2, picking up where we left off last time with verse 7. This is God's word. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are light, and in your presence is the light of life. Lord, your word is light, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray, O Lord, that the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel of the grace of God, the light of your truth and light of your countenance would shine on us as we reflect on your word, as we sit underneath your word, that it might shine on us, as it were, that it might bring great light and truth, knowledge, peace, and joy and blessing into our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do during times of crisis? What do you do during times of turmoil, times of uncertainty, times of change? What do you do when it feels like everything is going wrong, as if everything's falling apart, as if the ground beneath your feet is changing? You know, what do you do when it just feels like nothing is the same, times of sudden, unexpected change, times of confusion and chaos, and times when it seems like everything is changing? It's when we need to go back to the basics. When everything seems different, when things are surprising and confusing, we need to go back to those things that are certain, those things that we've always known and we've always believed in. And so this evening, we're going back to something rather simple, perhaps basic, and yet profound. And that is God's encouragement to us this evening, especially during times of crisis, of turmoil and difficulty, to love one another in the light of the Lord. Look with me at our text tonight, beginning with verse 7. John says, Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment. I mentioned last week that the New Testament church was going through a real time of difficulty. And it wasn't just a particular congregation. It wasn't just the church in Philippi or the church in Sardis or the church in Thessalonica. But it was the New Testament church. It was the Christian church in general. It wasn't just one particular congregation was having a difficult time or this church was going through a difficult split. But the New Testament church as a whole was going through an extraordinary time of difficulty that people were leaving. People were defecting in huge numbers. If you could imagine if a third of our congregation left, or even a half of our congregation left, and how devastating that would be if it was not just happening to our church, but it was happening to all the different congregations. Large numbers of people, professing members, defecting, leaving the church in big numbers. How devastating that would be. I mean, it raises all kind of questions, you know. Practical question. Well, who's going to do this ministry? Who's going to replace these people and do the things that they used to do? But also there's this sense of hurt, a sense of rejection. You know, when someone leaves your church, even if they're just moving away, it's hurtful. It's painful. You miss them. But when someone just chooses to leave, Even if they're going to go to another church, that's painful. There's a sense of rejection. But for these people, they were leaving because they were leaving church in general. They were leaving Christianity. And so it's painful. It's hurtful. It's also discouraging. It makes you feel like all of a sudden the church is, well, we're half the size we used to be. You feel like we've gone backwards 15 years. And so there's that discouragement. We enjoy being in a church that's growing. And so to suddenly, within a few weeks, lose so many members, that would be devastating, not to mention all the questions it raises. I was just getting to know these people. They were very close to me. I love them. And what is it? They're rejecting me. They don't want to be with us. They're leaving. What does this mean? They're not even Christians. I mean, if they're not Christians, how do I know I'm a Christian? If their faith is not real, how do I know mine is real? And so there's all this turmoil coming through the New Testament church. It's a very, very upsetting time. And it's during that time that John writes this letter. And you remember, this is what we call a general epistle. It wasn't directed just to one congregation or the other, but it was a circular letter that John would have circulated among the congregations. And here, as a pastoral sort of father figure, in a very comforting way, he says, "Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment." During times of uncertainty and change, you don't need something new. I probably mentioned this before, but I remember years ago, a woman in our area lost her husband. And she was so devastated that she went down south to live with relatives, and which was probably a good thing to go during that time of loneliness and grief to go and spend some time with family and everything. But in this case, she sold her house here and completely moved down there. And that's fine, except after about 6 months, she realized, what have I done? Not only have I lost my husband, I lost my home, I lost my church family, I lost all my friends, I lost everything. But what happens sometimes is that sometimes change is very unpleasant. I mean, not always. You start a new relationship, that can be very positive. You start a new job, that can be very positive. But change can often be unpleasant. You start a new job and it's not what you thought, or a relationship is going south. And sometimes change is very unsettling and we just want out. Everything is changing and it's unpleasant. I want out. And so what we do is we try to get out, and what we're doing is we're just adding more change. We're making things more complicated, more stressful, more difficult. The congregations of the church were going through more difficulty and change. They don't need more difficulty. They don't need something new. They need to be reminded of what they already know. They need their feet on solid ground. They need to be taken back to the basics. And so if 1 John seems a little basic, it's because it's meant to be. John is writing as sort of a father figure. You remember that according to tradition, he's the only one of the apostles who wasn't killed. And so he lives to be an older age. He's an older man here, and he's writing very pastorally. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment. This is nothing new. It was actually those who left who were always talking about something no. You remember there was a philosophy in the first century. It later became known as Gnosticism, from the Greek word knowledge. And the idea is looking for this knowledge, this spiritual knowledge, this new thing. And so as the New Testament church began to grow, all these people jumped on board, because for a while that was the new thing. And they were they liked the idea and the spiritual talk. And so there were these people who were using Christian terminology and Christian language. But as time goes on, it becomes evident that they're not really believers. They don't really believe what we believe. They're just interested in this spiritual enlightenment, this spiritual knowledge. And after a few years, you know, Christianity has become old to them. And they want something new. They want something more. They want to move on to higher enlightenment. And so these people move on. And so in large numbers, people are leaving the church. And it's devastating. They're leaving in search of some new truth, some new higher knowledge. And the people who are left behind, the true believers, are devastated. And so John, as it is, gathers them together and says, I'm not giving you anything new, beloved. I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. During times of uncertainty, you move from the unknown back to the known. Go back to what you know, what you can stand on, what you can be certain of. He says, I'm taking us back to that commandment that you've had from the beginning. That old commandment is the word that you've heard. He's referring, of course, to the commandment simply to love one another. I mean, it goes back at least to Leviticus, where God says to love your neighbor. This is nothing new. Of course, you're supposed to love one another. Even other religions tell us that. You know, say, I'm not telling you something new. when there's all kind of new things, it may be unpleasant, and we just want out, but you really, often you don't need that. I mean, sometimes you do have to get out of something, but often we overreact and we just add to our stresses because we make more changes and more difficulties. Instead, we need time to adjust to what's going on. And so John says, I'm not giving you anything new. I'm giving you an old commandment to love one another. I think he's reminding us that during times of change, we have to circle the wagons. This is not the time to go and hide into a hole and to lick our wounds in private. That would be the temptation because people, you're hurt, you're devastated. Look what's happening to the church. And these people, they don't want to be with us anymore. They don't like us. I mean, this is very personal. And it would be easy to kind of go off on your own and sort of weep and mourn. And John is reminding us, hey, you're not the only one grieving. You're not the only one suffering. You're not the only one struggling. Let's circle the wagons and let's love one another. You know, during times of change, times of uncertainty, we circle the wagons and we get back to basics and we love one another. John says, the old commandment, it's nothing new. This is an old commandment you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you've heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment I'm writing to you. He says, granted, there is a new aspect to it. There's a new element to it. It's an old, old commandment, but there is something new about it. And you know what he's referring to. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Nothing new about that. There's nothing new about that, except Jesus goes on to say, just as I have loved you, so also are you to love one another. And so it's not a new commandment, and yet the love of Christ sheds a whole new light upon it. It expands it and broadens it and gives almost a whole new meaning to what love is. It's kind of like when you become a parent. When you become a parent, when you have a little child, little children need you constantly. They're dependent on you. They do almost nothing for you. And you think, you know what love is, but then you have a child and you have a whole new understanding of love. It's almost like a whole new thing. And the same thing, we know what love is. This is not some new thing. And yet, when we begin to understand how Christ has given his life for us, well, that just sets a whole new light on what love is. It's almost like a whole new commandment, this kind of sacrificial love, this kind of unconditional love. We mentioned it this morning. We all want this unconditional love. We don't want to give it. You know, we want somebody to vow their love to us, but we don't want to vow unconditional love to someone else. We want to be on the receiving end. And for Christ to give himself in such a gracious way, to hold nothing back, it totally transforms what it means for us to love. So John says, in a sense, it almost is a new commandment. Jesus said that by this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a distinctive mark of Christianity, this kind of Christ-like love. It's the very love that these other people weren't showing. The people who were leaving, they want nothing more to do with the church. We're moving on to newer things and better things and bigger things, and we're more spiritual, we're more spiritual-minded, and they're showing no love for the church and no love for God's people and no love for these relationships they built. We're moving on, and they're not showing any love at all. Jesus, but the way that people know you're really a disciple is that you love my people. You love one another, and you love the way I've loved you. So, I think with that in mind, John says, beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment. At the same time, it is a new commandment I'm writing to you, which is true in him. And in Christ, it becomes almost a new commandment, this whole new, broader, deeper understanding of love, which is true in him and in you. That is, Christ is teaching you to love in this way. He said, that's what's happening here. We would focus on the people who are hurting us, the people who don't love us, the people who are leaving us. But John is telling us, I think in part, that one of the reasons why it's hurt so much is because you really do love. you love each other and you love them. You thought they were believers and you loved them, and that's part of what makes it so painful. But the point is that Christ is working in us and we are learning and growing in love for each other because the darkness is passing away. It didn't seem like that. Right? Seems like the darkness is encroaching. I mean, the whole New Testament church was seemed to be shrinking. We're half the size of what we were 3 weeks ago. It doesn't seem like the darkness is passing away. It seems like the darkness is encroaching. But John says, well, that's not exactly what's happening at all. What had happened was the darkness had been encroaching because these people who weren't really believers have been joining the church now for years. That's darkness encroaching. The people weren't even aware of it. And now at last, the reality is coming to light. The true church has stood firm on the truth. And so those who aren't really believers are moving on. That's good. That's not darkness encroaching. That's the darkness being expelled. That's the light. This is positive. This is a good thing. He says the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. You know, This teaching, this sort of early form of Gnosticism, would grow on and it would spread throughout the first, second, third century. But the church and the gospel, which the church upholds, this is brilliant and it's shining and it's growing and it's spreading. And John is saying, friends, especially during this time, love one another in the light of the Lord, in light of what God has done and what God is doing. If you don't love one another, you're still in the dark. He says, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Now, we don't like to be judgmental, which is good. We shouldn't be judgmental. We don't want to be judgmental. And so sometimes we are naive, and we can fall prey to people who don't have the same sensitivity that we have, who aren't afraid to be boastful and proud. And so here we have these people who are boasting in their enlightenment, their spiritual enlightenment, their secret knowledge and their hidden knowledge. And for humble Christians, that could be intimidating. These people don't think we're spiritual enough. They don't think I'm spiritual enough. They're moving on to something else. We feel like we're left behind. That's the way you would feel like you're left behind. These people don't want to be with us anymore. While we don't want to be judgmental, John says, listen, they may say they're enlightened, they say they're in the light, but if they hate the brothers, if they hate the people of God, if they hate the church, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. There will always be people who claim to be more enlightened than everybody else, but if they hate the people of God, they are in the dark. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And this is the encouragement. This is the encouragement. He said, those who love the Lord and the love of the Lord's people, these are the people in the light of the presence of the God, the presence of the truth. In him there's no cause for stumbling. These people who were supposedly so enlightened and so knowledgeable, they were causing people to stumble with their moving on, with their philosophy and their heretical ideas and their abandoning the church. They were causing people to doubt and struggle and stumble. But when you love one another in the light of the truth, then there's no cause for stumbling. That strengthens each other. That builds each other up. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to be boastful and arrogant and lift ourselves up above others. But we do need to be realistic that there are some people who boast of their spiritual enlightenment, and in fact, they are in the dark. There are people who are liars, and they're blinded by the darkness, and we don't want to be fooled by them and tempted by them or intimidated by them. John says, listen, if they don't love the brotherhood, they are in the darkness, and they don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded their eyes. But Jesus loves his people. And him is light, and the life is the light of men. If you remember how John begins this epistle, he says, that which was from the beginning. And there's echoes there of how he began the gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and And he was the light of men. And so there's these echoes of the fact that God is light. Jesus Christ is light. And he loves us. He loves his people. We can't be more spiritual than Jesus. And that's the fact what they were doing. These people were claiming to be so far more enlightened than Jesus. They're moving on to something else. Jesus didn't move on to something else. Jesus loves his people and gave himself for his people. And so John exhorts us, takes us back to day one, back to basics. Love each other. Love each other in the light of the Lord. Love each other in the light of Jesus Christ. Love each other in the light of what he's done for us. Look after one another. Build each other up. Circle the wagons. Care for each other. Times of crisis, times of uncertainty don't have to be our undoing. They can be our strengthening. That's what it was for the church. It was a good thing for the church, ultimately. It was a purifying of the church. It was a removing of the darkness. It was a spreading of the light. It was bringing people to a greater understanding of the gospel. It's a good thing. And so during difficulties, we circle the wagons. We love one another in the light of the Lord and what he's done for us. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your love for us. We are easily shaken. Things happen unexpectedly that unnerve us, and our thoughts go to all sorts of different places. And especially when something large change happens unexpectedly, and it takes us off guard, and it could cause us to question almost everything. Thankful that your word brings us back to the basics, to things we can be certain of, things we know to be true. John reminds us of Jesus and how they touched him and saw him and felt him with their hands. That God is not just an idea or a concept, but God has come in the person of his Son. And they're eyewitnesses to his majesty and how he gave himself in love and compassion on the cross for us. And Lord, bring us back to you in terms of these of uncertainty. Bring us closer to you. Bring us more into the light. And help us, O Lord, to look after one another and care for one another during these times. We ask your blessing and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.